right pretty. But out in the woods, it's not much.
No, the kids, you know, think they're quite a bit. We, every year we get a few and sprinkle them with a sprinkle of different colors and the sparkle, you know, you buy at the drugstore.
Uh-huh.
I'm all out of that this year, so they're going to have to do the best they can. Several years ago, I'd gotten some big ones and painted them red and green and silver color.
Uh-huh.
And the kids get a big kick out of hanging them around. But I've only got a few left, so we went out hunting for some nice shake ones. And,
uh-huh.
Oh, I got tired.
Oh, it's a long trip. You got to have an adult along, though, haven't you?
Yeah, oh, boy. Then I thought I was going to have to come back with half the kids missing.
Yes.
I had a time trying to keep them all together.
Is that right?
Oh, one wanted to go northeast and south and west.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Don't all want to go the same place?
No, oh no. They're afraid that one of them's going to find something different, you know.
Yeah.
They all take off in a different direction after something else. I got a bell I have to ring when it's time to go.
Yeah.
They all kind of wander out a little
I got a policeman's whistle.
Yeah, that's what I'd be.
Yeah.
Or a cowbell is more like.
Yes, cowbell.
Oh, mate.
I found a holly tree or two out there one year.
Uh-huh.
But they were big and straggly.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't see any berries on it.
It's probably a male. Well, we got one that's shaped pretty. Very pretty,
mm-hmm.
But it's a male tree, and we found one next to it that was even prettier yet, and it was quite large. I guess it was about 7 or 8 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
And Berman dug it up and transplanted it here in the yard. That's been over a year ago now, about a year ago.
And it's still living?
It's still living. It's sort of yellow around the edges of the leaves, but it's still living.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed this year that it didn't put out berries. But I'm satisfied, though, that it didn't die.
You know what I'd like to do? Now, up the country, you see, where I used to live, I knew where to get trees. There were a lot of tree nurseries.
Uh-huh.
And I could get almost anything. Knew where to get them. But now down here, I don't know.
Well, every year, we hit it pretty lucky. You know, if we had to go out and buy our Christmas tree, I think we'd do without one. I'm surprised they are in town.
Oh, yeah.
So every year we have a special cedar tree down here that we've been cutting a limb off of and making a pretty cedar tree out of.
Uh-huh.
And this year it was so pretty, I just didn't have the heart to cut on it.
Yeah.
And there are some smaller ones that we left had growing up here back in the woods for quite some time, and we haven't bothered with them. They should have been trimmed back. And this year, I took the top out of them so that they would use one for a Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
And the other one I sold. And so I'm pretty well off now for my Christmas trees. I've pruned this back now so that next year, I just did that a while ago. I took the saw down there with me and I pruned it back down around the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And it has two main roots to it.
Uh-huh.
So I'll get two trees from that one root.
Oh, I want to see how you do that.
And I turn it all back, all the straggly ends around the bottom. So next year we'll have one about 3 or 4 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
It'll be good and bushy. And another one out of the top of this tree that I just trimmed. So we'll have Christmas trees coming on right along.
Well, how much will they grow in a year?
They're surprising.
Once they're rooted, they...
That's right. After they're rooted, they really jump. This one out here beside the house, I don't know whether you've ever noticed it or not, but it's beside the new house,
mm-hmm.
is, I think it's 4 years old this year. Or 3 years old, I can't remember which. And it's up taller than the new house is.
Yeah.
So they grow quite rapidly. We planted that, and it was no bigger around than a pencil when we planted it.
Yeah.
So it's, they grow quite rapidly. And then the bull got a hold of it and broke it off twice.
Oh, I remember that.
Uh-huh. And it's come out real pretty.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's an amazing tree, isn't it?
Well, cedars are like that. I didn't know that myself, and Berman told me. every time they're broken or trimmed, you know, or the top out, take the top out of them, they push out and make a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be done when they're young, you know, two years old and 3 years old.
Oh.
And then they make a beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
This one out here, I wouldn't cut it. And that main one down in the pasture down here, I wouldn't cut on it anymore.
Well, now, where did Berman learn all those things?
Oh, I don't know. He's amazing. To me, he knows just about everything there is to know, I guess. I don't know where he picks it up, but he has a knack for remembering things about shrubbery and orange trees, orange groves, but anything about oranges, he knows it.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. He's worked in groves for a long time down south. And taking care of his uncles and aunts' groves for them, you know. I guess this is where he picked it.
Oh, yes. I guess I never heard him talk about it because I never knew anything about it myself.
Uh-huh. And, well, he's always wanted citrus. But there where we were before, where we lived before, was too low for citrus.
Yeah.
And up here it's too dry and too cold for citrus. So
yeah.
We just have to do without. And here he is with all the knowledge of knowing how to grow them.
Well, you know, I tell you, I thought I wanted some citrus, but when I see these people work their groves, they just live in them, 12-month job.
It's too hard work. And just a few trees for your own use, you know,
yeah.
Is all right, probably. But I just wouldn't want to put a lot of money in a grove and then have to irrigate it and have to fight the drought and have to fight the frost and everything else. I just wouldn't go into it for a living.
And look at all the time you have to put in it.
That's right. And I don't see where they're making very much when they have to pay for the expense of these pots to keep them from freezing in the wintertime and irrigating in the summertime.
Yeah.
And then all the fertilizer and lime that goes into it, nitrate. I just don't know how in the world they make it.
And don't forget the equipment they have to have.
That's right. And then when they go to sell it, they have to take the bargain price for it. It's worse than us with our cattle at market.
It's worse than, it's about as bad as vegetables, isn't it?
I think so. Well, your vegetables, you have to have a market for them right away.
Yeah, at least it's not perishable.
That's right.
At least not to that extent.
Well, you know, I sent 3 bushels of fruit off to my brothers and sisters. And one to an old aunt of mine, and they had gone up so on the freighting cost this year, I was ashamed to even send them. They could buy the fruit for what I was shipping them for, never mind getting them together, you know.
Mm.
And but I sent them to them because I thought they'd enjoy them. And bless my soul, I called the other night, hadn't heard whether they received them or not, so I called just last night. And they had received the fruit 3 days ago. It took them 18 days to get there. And the fruit was just ruined.
Why, Shirley?
So I called that fellow here at the express office, and he wasn't in. And she said to call him back at 4:30. So I'm going to chew his ear out a little bit. That kind of made him mad. I was hoping that they'd have some fresh fruit for Christmas. And it's not even eatable. So I don't know what they do about that. But good gracious, sending off that much fruit. I'm hoping they'll make it good somehow or another.
Why, I'm learning so much from you, Shirley. Wait just half a second. Faye?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Faye wants to make a little run, and I was going with her, but I don't want to leave. I'm learning so much from you. I don't want to leave.
Oh dear. Well.
You all, you don't realize what innocent things you all do over there.
Is that right?
No, you don't. I don't believe.
You must be really living in the sticks these days. No, we got so much going. Seems like most of the time that I can't keep up with it myself. I feel like I don't. If I could get off in these woods, just camp back there all by myself.
Yeah. Well, you can't hardly, you know, have just the perfect, everything just perfect, but shoot fire just to have those beautiful woods around you. That's something.
That's right. Well, we enjoy them like today. Now, we've been I have a lot of house cleaning I should be doing, but since the kids have been home from school, I've let everything go, and I've been out walking with them and down to the fish pond and out hunting for Christmas trees. Oh, boy. Berman's going to divorce me if he comes home to a dirty house again tonight.
Berman, though, he's just missing out himself. That's all it'll be.
We made cookies all morning this morning, Bonnie and I, and I guess I must have about 10 dozen cookies, you know, of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Well, now, look, Shirley, look how fast she's going to learn.
I don't know. I don't have the patience, really, to teach her. You know, it's like a husband teaching a wife how to drive.
You don't have to teach her. She'll just pick it up.
Oh, yeah. She's picked up quite a bit just watching.
Yeah.
I let her dibble in the cakes and whatnot now, and she's learning quite fast. I really don't have the patience to do that.
I think that's a beautiful thing about that. At that age, you see, they don't have to put their minds to it.
Uh-huh.
They'll just pick it up, and first thing you know, they'll be doing it.
Well, the way I learned when I was... I learned to cook on a pot of split pea soup. We were left all alone and no groceries, and this lady next to us gave us a bag of split pea soup. And I was 8 years old, and I put this on to cook, and I didn't know how in the world it was going to turn out. You know,
yeah.
You start off at 8 years old with a bag of split pea soup and see what you get.
Lord help her. I have no idea.
But we ate it. I'll tell you, we ate it. We were starved to death.
Yeah?
I'll never forget that.
What is... I don't know what split peas are.
They're little tiny green split peas.
Yeah.
They're real delicious when they're cooked right.
Yeah.
I didn't finish cooking them, and they were sort of hard at that time. That was...
Oh, you didn't quite
I didn't.
Finish them.
We ate raw peas.
Oh, I see.
You see, you're supposed to soak them
and
then cook them, you see, like you would dried beans.
Oh, I see.
And I just put them in a pot with a little water, and I cooked them, and I thought they were done when they looked about the ripeness of English teas, you know.
I see.
Boy, if I did. Everybody sat down and ate as if, you know, they were starving to death. I guess they'd ate them right out of the bag as hard as they were.
Mm-hmm.
But... the kids were so hungry then. They just sat down. And then I had an old ham bone that had been left over, so I threw this in the pot of beans and split peas, and it made it taste a little better. I'll never forget the way I turned when I started cooking.
Yeah.
I didn't have a soul to teach me how, and in order to eat, we had to eat what I cooked.
Well, now, there you are, Shirley. I think it's amazing how children can just take responsibility. Just amazing. Now, of course, they don't want to, if they don't have to.
That's right. Now, my children, I stop to think now. I ask Bonnie sometimes to sweep the floor or something. If I catch her in a bad mood, she say, "Well, I don't want to."
Yeah.
That makes me furious. But then I stop to think, when I was her age, I had it all to do. I had no one to do it for me. And then I had two sisters and a brother younger than I was.
Yeah. And they didn't do much.
But then I think, well, I don't want her to have to do everything that I did, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then again, I'm too lenient, too, I believe, with her, because she should be doing more than what she is doing. And this goes for the others.
Well, let me tell you, Shirley, of course you need to be lenient with them, but then they need to do things, too, you know.
That's
it makes
right.
them, actually, it makes them feel better.
When they start asking, or telling me I haven't anything to do, or what can I do now, or something, I know then that they're not getting enough to do.
Yes.
And, I find something to do if it's very minor job that doesn't need to be done, but I find something somewhere to do.
Will they put up their toys and things like that when they get through with them?
Well, here, Mr. Miles, in this place, that we're living in here, it seems like, well, they will, the older ones will put them up, but then the baby doesn't, and he'll pick up the toys after the others are through with them and leaves them, you know, everywhere they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
What happened?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Goodness. Mommy's so crazy. Yes. You know who
mommy's
talking to?
Hmm?
Oh, heartbroken.
Yeah.
Him and Danny were into it.
Huh?
Him and Danny were into it.
Yeah.
The baby and Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go with Johnny. Go with Johnny. Those two younger ones don't get along too well together.
Well, yeah. Shirley, you've got something else to do, but now let me tell you. Let me see. How are your cows?
They're doing very well. I'm going to have late calves, though, I think, this year, because I went down yesterday and more or less spent quite a bit of time with them.
Uh-huh.
And from what I can gather, I imagine they'll be about January, February, late January or early February calves.
Yes.
And this has put us behind a little because it's been over a year now since we've had a calf.
Uh-huh.
So, you see, they're falling behind a little.
Well, now, let me tell you, I kept my bull out this year because I didn't want him too early. It seemed to me like coming in January, the cows, it's just so hard on the cows. Nothing to eat, and it's so long.
That's right. In a way, I'm sort of glad, but then you hate to go over so many months, you know, without any calves at all. yeah, I think you're right, though. However, this year, if it lasts through January and February. Oh, okay, here, you can go in. You can go in. Keep him occupied there for a minute. This year, the grass being as green as it is, I was hoping we'd have earlier calves.
Uh-huh.
But it may not last.
Well, that's the trouble.
So.
Yeah. And we're getting to the point where we need a little more rain.
Well, another shower wouldn't hurt anything right now. That other that we've had is already used, I believe.
Yeah.
It's dry out here again.
It's going to start getting dry again.
I don't know. I just wish it would come a good 2-3 inches of rain. It's driving things up so outside.
Before we have to have it.
That's right.
Before we start suffering.
That's right.
I've seen my cows go down from, you know, with those early calves, and I just couldn't feed them enough to keep them going. See, all I could do was just give them a little bath, a little handout.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start giving milk, that milk pulls them down.
We had one of yours that goes down quicker than all the others, one that we got from you. I forget what her number was. You see, we have number 61 tag on it here out here now.
Mm-hmm.
I think her name was Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to lose weight a lot faster than the others.
Well, maybe it's just my cow.
No, it's just her nature, I think, because she'll get fat in a hurry. She fattens up in a hurry.
Yeah.
But then she's the first one to always lose weight all the time.
Yeah.
My old man.
Yeah, you've got things to do, Shirley. I enjoyed talking to you.
No, it's Mr. Miles. You want to talk to him for a minute?
Yeah, let me talk to him a minute.
Okay. Let me get everything out of it. He comes in the house like Santa Claus, full of packages. Here, put them up there. Oh, he's got a... That's so much in his hands, he don't know where to put it.
Oh.
Here he is.
He can't lay it down.
Hello?
Hey there.
How are you doing?
Berman?
Yeah.
I have tried, not recently, but from time to time, I have tried to get you up at the office.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able to find your extension number.
Well, I don't have no extension number.
Well, is that the reason?
Yeah.
Well, how did Shirley get you?
Well, just by phoning.
Huh?
Just by phoning.
Well, you've got a telephone.
Huh?
You don't have an extension, you've got a telephone.
Yeah, it's right there in the phone, the campus phone book.
It is?
Yeah, right on my name. It is 376-9105. Or else you can give me at 372-4531.
And it's in the phone book?
Yeah. This number here I'm giving you here is a hall phone. I can hear it much better than I can the office phone.
Yeah.
The phone they give there is the office phone.
Yeah.
And I can't hardly hear that.
Yeah.
Usually I'm over in the shop somewhere.
Yeah.
But this hall phone here, I can hear that.
And what's your hall phone?
That's 376-9105.
9105?
Yeah.
I'll try to remember
that. But the office phone, though, the number they get in the book is 376-0112.
Well, I'll just try to remember one of them.
That's the one they give in the office.
9105.
Yeah, 9105.
I'll try to remember.
Now, see, I'm not on the campus extension.
Oh, I see. No, I didn't know that. Well, anyhow.
Beg pardon?
They ought to have it over there.
Well, it's in the book. But all those phones in Diamond Village and Shuck Village are 7-digit numbers.
Oh.
They don't go through the campus.
I see.
Everybody has their own phone bill to pay.
Oh, really?
nearly all those apartments have a phone.
9105.
Yeah, 9105. That's 376.
I'll try to remember that. How you doing over there?
Oh boy, I've been beating myself to death trying to get all my work done.
Oh.
I just got in and sure was talking to you.
Yeah. And out there you gonna work tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out there and work some tonight.
What are you working on, your bathroom?
Well, I'm trying to work on these porch lights and I'm working in the closet right now. I can't do anything else in the bathroom now until I get that thing drywall and get my tile and stuff in.
Oh.
I don't know what I can do in there for right now.
Oh.
And I got to do some work in there.
Well, now, you are making little progress out there now, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like I'm taking one step forward and two backwards.
When you bust something?
Huh?
Whenever you bust something.
Well, I try not to bust something.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I do that, though.
You don't have much time for your farm.
Well, the time I get in the afternoon, change the clothes, milk the cow, it's dark.
That's the trouble. And you know it's going to be dark a good long time.
Well, usually I got lights out there, and I go out there and turn the lights on.
Yeah.
I don't have no trouble.
Well, Bum, it's nice to talk to you.
You going to have a big Christmas?
I hope not. I hope it's very quiet.
Well, these kids here, I don't imagine we'd do much, but you know how kids are. Christmas means a lot to them.
Well, shoot fire. They have a big Christmas just going out in the woods and getting a tree.
Yeah, we always try to, we don't buy nothing for them only on Christmas, and we try to give them pretty good Christmas.
Yeah.
So they always look forward to it.
Shirley told me what Bonnie wanted.
Yeah. Well,
oh, that,
I'll ride him too.
Yeah. That ought to be fine.
I got a new saddle and I got it in the car out there in our trunk.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's fine. You have to have a little show over there and invite your neighbors in to see you. Bummin, I'll see you.
Okay.
Nice talk.
Have a good Christmas.
Good nurse.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I just got so worried about you a good bit.
You do? Well, I'm glad you do, Mr. Miles.
I'm sitting up here waiting for a ride to go home. It'll be dark before I get there, and I thought I'd just ring you up.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
I was prepared to ask your nurse how you're getting along, though.
My nurse, she's not here. But I got one. She comes to see me and take care of me.
Oh, you? I thought you meant Marvin.
No, sir. I got one out of Gainesville.
You mean a real nurse?
A real nurse.
Oh, well.
She comes out from the medical center and she sees about me and she's taking care of me.
Well, how'd you do that, Miss?
I don't know. I just
How'd you find out about that, her?
Oh, I've been knowing her a long time.
Well, who's that?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Nobody I know?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you who she is.
Well, that's all right. I'm just glad you got somebody.
But she
found
does.
Somebody.
She takes care of me. The least little thing goes wrong, and she's out here. Just as soon as I call her, pick up this phone and call her, she's right here at me.
Well, tell me what you've been doing. Tell me something.
Well, I've been doing a little of everything, Mr. Miles, and I haven't done too much since we quit gathering hay.
When'd you quit gathering hay? Way back in August?
About October.
Oh. you mean that late?
That late.
You've been, goodness, how much hay you got?
Oh, we got quite a bit, and we sold several tons.
Oh, did you?
We've been tearing down the house and trying to get that fixed back, but that's slow going. No money. And no carpenter.
Yeah, so you got a good carpenter now.
We just have to do the best we can.
Your porch. You got your porch ready.
Well, no, sir. The back porch, we piled everything out of the kitchen in it.
Yeah.
And we tore down all that block porch on the back.
Yeah.
And that little room, and we just got a little ramp up there that we walk up on till we can get on our feet and do better. Why don't you come out and see us someday?
Oh, I've just been looking forward to it.
Will you just get yourself out here to see us?
I think about you a lot.
Well, we do you too.
Is Marvin, is he behaving himself?
Yes, he's right here. You want to speak to him?
No, I just checking in.
Well, yeah, he's a pretty good boy.
What's he up to now?
Oh, he's been a-fixing a Christmas tree for the church out at Windsor.
Out at Windsor?
Yes.
Is that where you all go to church?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
And they're going to have a little Christmas program out there tomorrow night. We're trying to help out with the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
And just first one thing and another.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear you talking as if you feeling better.
Well, I am. I'm all right now.
Well, we start in make some more hay. How your cattle?
Well, my cattle's looking pretty good, but, you know, we had such a long, dry spell. Till there wasn't any grass for them to eat. They don't get anything to eat on what hay we give them.
That's the longest dry spell. I never saw anything like it.
It was. It really was.
Just like it's trying to put us all out of business.
It sure was. I heard you were selling out your cows.
I got them for sale.
You got a good bull?
I got that good bull, yeah.
What you want for it?
I don't know. I paid $1,500 for it.
How much?
$1,500.
Oh, Mr. Miles, that's more money than I'd ever have.
Isn't that something? Poor man paying that for one animal. But he's had some good calves. I want you to see some of them calves he had. We'll have to get together and swap up a little information.
You sure will.
You all come see me.
Okay. And you and Miss Miles come out.
We will.
And be sure and call me again.
And keep and take care of yourself.
I will. And same to you, Mr. Miles.
All right.
And you and Miss Miles come out.
We'll do it.
We think about you all a lot.
We got so many things to talk about.
We just come on out any time.
All right.
Okay.
So goodbye.
Bye-bye.
There ain't nothing the matter with him. He said, oh, yes. And he went out there and he said, well, I can't tell much about that. There was two of them. He said, I have to go up in the loft where they're at. So I said, well, I said, they're all right as far as I know. So when he went up there, the other one went up and one stayed down and talked to me. And he said, oh, he said, the wires are raw. He said, and they're liable to set your house afire at any minute.
Yeah.
He said, so you better have something done for it, to it. I said, well, I don't have no money. So he said, well, it'll cost you around $50. I said, $50 for what? Why, to get up there and wrap them wires, he said, so that they won't rub together. Well, that got me kind of scared, you know. And I said, well, I thought to myself, I said, well, I don't know. I said, look, that Arthur could tell me something about him. Well, anyway, he kept talking, so finally I told him to, well, I would see about it, you know, and go up there. And he said, well, it'll cost you so much a foot to fix them. So I said, well, how much? Well, he said, well, now, if you don't have all this $50 down, he said, you can pay me what you got, and then I'll come back in a week's time, and you can finish paying me. Well, I had my little money for my groceries, don't you know? So I was so dumb, I just handed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of that. Yes, and that was the end of that. Mr. Brad said, well, why didn't you tell him to come? I said, well, the fool was in me. I should have known that the electric people had their own concerns. They don't drive no red truck. I said, but then I don't know. I said, well, after this, I'll try to have some sense.
Well, anybody can get caught like that, Liza.
Yes, sir.
Anybody.
Yes, sir. I said, well, after this, I'll try to have some sense.
I bet you find out some of these people. I bet you Fred Wood been caught on things.
I expect he has.
Maybe
I
not something just like that. But,
well, I expect he has. Now, Woodard Warren, they caught him. They got $50 out of him, made out like they were the people that come, that the welfare folks sent there for them to paint his roof, and said it would cost him $50. Well, he was dumb just like I was, so he out. When they got through painting the roof, he had the $50 and give it to him.
Mm.
Well, they didn't get but $30 out of me, but I said, I'll show pay attention to this after that. For anybody that comes along that wants to do something, I tell them, no, I don't want nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no money. Now, you know, there's some people going around, Mr. Myers, making out like they can put bathrooms and things like that in your house and costs you so much, don't you know? And it makes you have you to sign the paper. A lot of them down to McIntosh has done that. Yes, sir. So I said, well, I ain't going to have no bathroom put in. I'm going to just leave the old shack just like it is.
Yeah.
It suits me.
Oh, yeah.
You heard anything from Miss Anna?
I have not. Have you?
No, not today. I haven't been to the store. I was there yesterday. Mr. Fred says she was just there.
I was down there, but nobody was there but Ash, and
he couldn't tell you much about it.
Well, I didn't ask him, you know. I never never bring up much with Ash.
Well, he sometimes I ask him, he said, well, my ma is just there. He says she don't get no better. Well, that's what Mr. Fred said, and he said, well, I'm just so worried, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I know what you're talking about. I say, I really know what you're talking about.
Miss Liza, pull up your chair there. I want to ask you a question, too.
Oh.
Now, on that little bit chair you was talking to me about, how far back you going to start?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Myers. I was just thinking about that, but I just had it in my mind, but I haven't decided, don't you know, just what I would do about it.
Yeah.
I haven't decided. I was just thinking.
How many dates do you remember? You remember when you were born?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember when I was born. I was born March the 3rd, 1875 was when I was born.
1875?
Uh-huh.
Whereabouts?
In Montgomery County. Montgomery County, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. How far up there is it up there? Up in Georgia, is that?
Well, I don't know how far.
What's it close to? I forget the county.
Well, now, let me see. It's not too far from where the place they call Long Pond, you know. That's the county seat of Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Long Pond.
Mm-hmm. Is it close to Valdosta or anything?
Oh,
like
no.
That?
It's way away from there. Uh-uh. It's going on up like you're going to Macon.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, up
I
that
see.
Way.
Mm-hmm. On up that way.
Mm-hmm.
When did you come down here?
Well, now, listen, Mr. Myers. Now, my father, he moved from up in there to Wayne County. That's just Georgia, see. County. Wayne County, Jessup, Georgia is in, that's right, Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne County, that's right. That's not so far, that's 42 miles from Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
See, Brunswick County.
That's getting on down towards Jacksonville.
Oh yeah, Brunswick is in Glenn County. Brunswick, Georgia is in Glenn County. Yeah. Yeah, that's where they moved. They moved from Wayne County they moved from Montgomery County to Wayne County. See?
How old was you then?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Myers. I reckon I was, well, I don't know. I can't think about, maybe I was about 10 or 12 years old, maybe. Somewhere along there.
So you grew up down in Wayne County?
Oh, yes, I grew up in Wayne County. Because we were small when we moved, when Daddy moved us. You see, it wasn't no school in Montgomery County. It was so far to the schools there. And Mother told him that she didn't want us to grow up without no learning like she had. And so she got after him then to move her to Jessup. That's where she had a sister, to Jessup, see. That was in
Wayne County.
Wayne County. And so his Daddy moved us there. Well, we were small, you know, when we moved there. And so we stayed there until I was grown.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, now, most people lived out in the country then.
Well, they did. A good many lived in the country, but we didn't move in the country. We moved in the little town, Jessup, because, you see...
What was it? About like...
About like Evanston.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few... Well, there wasn't... It might have been more people. There might have been more people there.
Yeah.
Than they are around here.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Than they are now.
Yes. More people there.
So you grew up there in Jessup?
Yes.
In Wayne County?
Yes, in Wayne County, because we moved from Montgomery when we were just little kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy moved us there where we could go to school, there at Wayne. And we stayed there till we was grown.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, did your whole family move down here?
Move, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. My mother died in Georgia, in Jessup. My daddy died there, and my two brothers died in Jessup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you come down here by yourself?
No. Well, you see, then I married and went to Savannah, Georgia, see?
Oh.
And then after I left Savannah, then I went to come to West Palm Beach. You see, me and my husband separated in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come from Savannah to West Palm Beach, and there I met this man that I married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your first husband's name?
He was named Hamburg. He was named Hamburg. His first name was, what was his first name? It's been so long. What was his first name? William.
William Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
So at one time you was Ms. Hamburg.
Yeah.
Well, now that don't sound like you, Liza. I don't think of you as Ms. Hamburg.
Well, that was the man name that I married.
How long did you live with him?
Oh, I stayed with him by 10, 11 years, I guess.
That long?
Yeah. I lived in Savannah there with him. Then we broke up. Then I went back to Jessup.
Yeah.
Where my mother and father were, see.
They were still there.
Yeah, they still were there. But now my brothers was dead.
But the time you got back there, you had already lived in the city.
Oh, yes, I'd lived in Savannah.
10 years.
Yes, I'd lived there 10 years with him.
Well, was he a city man?
Well, no, he wasn't exactly. Well, I tell you, Mr. Myers, he was a kind of a little stump knocker preacher. That's what he was.
What kind?
A little stump knocker.
Stump knocker, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's where you, that's how you get to know your Sunday school so well, then.
Yeah.
You've had good influences.
Oh, sure.
Did you learn anything from him?
Well, he was pretty good. He was pretty good. He had pretty good sense, you know, about ministering and things like that. He taught me Frank's mother Bible.
Yeah, and you heard him talk a whole lot.
Oh, yes, I did.
Of course, you had to go to church.
Yes, I went to church. Yeah, I always had liked to go to church.
Yeah. And you listen when you go.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I go for, to hear what's going to be said.
Yeah.
I don't go to church to see what somebody's got on and things like that. I go to pay attention to what the preacher's talking about.
Well, a lot of people love to look around.
Yeah, well, I look around too, so.
Well,
I
see who's there and what they've all got on and all like that.
Mr. Myers, it's fixing to rain.
Yeah, it's just going to keep on raining. I cut some hay down this afternoon, you see.
Uh-huh.
So it's rained on it 3 times now.
Yeah.
This would be the third. But it don't matter. You know, I hadn't thought about that, Miss Liza, but it really would be, you see, you learn more there than you did going to school.
More where?
When you was married.
Oh, yeah.
To this stump-knocker preacher.
Yeah.
Than you did when you went to school. See, because you read and you heard it read.
Yeah.
And all that talk going on, you see, there's always talking, wasn't there?
Yes, talking. And instructing me about different things, you know, that we would see in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, now that puts things in a different light. I thought about that, you know. I see these little preachers around the countryside, you know. They mostly, a lot of them just learn themselves.
Yeah.
But if you get in with them and hear them talk,
yeah,
you can't help but learn.
You can't help but learn. You sure can.
Do you think you learn right from them?
Well, some things is pretty straight, I think. Now I've gotten where I can't read much. I like to read my Sunday school lesson now.
Yeah.
And I go to Sunday school, but I can't read in Sunday school because the light is in front of me there where I sit.
Yeah.
And if it was behind me, I could see, you see, but the light's in front of me. And I said, I'm going to quit going to Sunday school because I can't read and I don't want to go. And be sitting up there dumb. I like to, you know, when things is read, they ask you what you think about so and so.
Yeah.
And then you have a chance to explain your thoughts about it, just like maybe you would Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And that learns you.
Well, now, if you'd come up there at 7:30. Saturday morning.
I wouldn't get up there that time.
You could hear this fine talk, and
yeah.
I read you the lesson before.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't come. Not that early.
Well, that's a little bit early.
So I don't know. I may think of that, Mr. Myers. I may think to read to, but I wouldn't put all that in it like that. I would just like to see some of the things, you know, that I would like to put on the obituary.
Such as? Such as?
Yes, I wouldn't like to go all that there. I wouldn't do that.
You'd rather keep it up closer to now?
I wouldn't go any that there.
Well, what kind of things would you think about?
Well, I don't know. Just I haven't decided yet just what I would do about it. But I was just thinking, you know, that nobody knew me here. And to have a little short obituary, I would like to have, you know, maybe when I came here, I would say, and when I joined the church out there, and what I have been in the church out there. See?
What have you been in the church out
well,
there?
Well, I've been a stewardess out there. I've been a stewardess in that church for 30 years out there.
A what?
Stewardess, you know, that's take care of the sacrament and fix the tables and things like that.
But ever since you come about?
Yes. Well, I joined out there in 29. I joined, and we moved here in 28, and in 29 I joined, and the next year, the women that was on this board taking me in on that board, because they liked me.
Yeah.
And they took me in, and I've been ever since.
Ever since 1930?
Yeah. And myself and Mag Jackson used to be the head stewardesses out there.
Uh-huh.
But you see, she's passed, and I'm still the chairman of the board. I want to give it up. But they don't want me to give it up. But I can't see how to pour the wine and nothing like that. And it bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it don't bother them, I don't.
Oh, no. There's always somebody there to do it, but they just want me there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I would put on this obituary would be that when I moved here, and you know how long I've been working in that church, things like that.
Well, you moved here in 28.
Yeah.
And then you joined up down there
in
29.
And they put me on the board in 30.
And you've been on ever since.
Yes.
And you're chairman of it now.
Yes, that's right.
And you was on with Maggie Jackson.
That's right. She and her friend, Belle James, Charlie James's wife, they wanted me to join with them on the board, and I did.
Yeah. How long has Charlie James's wife been dead?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Myers, but if I ever see him again, I'm going to ask him. It's a long time, more than 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, she was a lot older than you were.
No, she wasn't as old as I am. Mm-mm.
She just died young?
Well, no, but what I mean, like I am now, but she's been dead a long time, but I was older than her then.
Was she?
Oh, sure. Mr. Myers, just think, I'm in my 93.
Well, in 1930, you was 55.
Well, that's right.
So you wasn't exactly young then, was
no,
you?
No, I wasn't young. No, I wasn't young.
55. Well, now, you know, I just pictured you when you moved here and joined up down there as being sort of a young woman.
Yeah, well, I was, you see, I was long about that age.
Yeah.
Well, nobody believes if I tell the folks that I'm in my 93. Now, they don't believe it.
No.
They say, well, you don't look it.
No, don't act it, don't talk it.
No. But I am.
If you had your eyesight a little better,
I'd be
life,
fine.
You'd be fine.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
but I just can't see.
Well, you know, I used to go up there to read a little bit to Miss Anna, but she'd always rather talk, and I never did read to her.
Yeah, she liked to talk. Listen, mind you, better come in, because this is raining.
Well, let me see. I was thinking about,
I can get you a chair. You don't have to sit there.
I love to sit there. You can see way out there. You can see out good, can't you?
Yes, I can see way over there. All I need is just some eyes to see.
You know, up there, James, his buddy, he's got that little mulberry tree. It's just growing so fast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The children can climb in it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Now, you see, there is this woman. She's dead now. You see, she died since Maggie. And there was only myself and Maggie and her and Belle James on that boat.
Just four of you?
Yeah, there was four of us on that boat that worked.
Yeah.
And so now, Mary Townsend, you see, she's dead. Maggie's dead. And Belle's dead. Well, now, you see, I'm still on there. Well, now, I have Carrie Payton and Florida Mae Woodard and Ed Lee Johnson and Eldora Gill and this woman's a McIntosh, Mary Jones.
Yeah.
She's the seven on there.
Now, I know Flora May about the only one I know that
you
name.
Yeah, you know her. Flora May, yeah.
Flora May. I may know some of the others.
Well, you might know Clyde's wife. You see, she works with the Richardsons. The old lady Richardson's house, she works with Walter's wife.
Yeah.
There.
I know Clyde, but I don't believe I know her.
You don't know her. Well, now you might know, I don't know, you don't know the rest of them, see.
Mm-mm. But now they are on now.
Yeah.
Is that, how many did you name? Five of them?
There's seven.
Seven.
With myself.
Yeah.
Seven. Carrie Payton. Up there. You don't know her. Carrie. Nothing about that, don't you see? They don't know. And there's nobody here that do know anything about that. Not even my folks. There's none of my folks that's living that knows about that.
Well, you can tell them.
Well, it's not necessary. I didn't think it was necessary.
Well, you ought to have a say in it.
Oh, my goodness. So I just thought, you know, I might think to just get a short visit.
Well, now, let's see, Liza, what else do you think is, would you want to put out now how long you've been living down here?
Well, you see, I would have to put that I moved here 28 and joined that church in 29.
Yeah. How long you been here in this place, this house?
Well, I've been right here. I moved in this house when I moved here.
Well, that's extraordinary.
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I moved right in this old shack when I moved here.
Was it new then?
No. This is the oldest house on this place.
Older than that old house I live in?
Well, I believe it is.
1890.
I believe it is. It's long about that because I know Mr. Man, I used to work for here when I first come here. I washed for him. And he said that, Frank Hester, and he said he remembered when this house was built. He was a boy when this house was built.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how long that's been.
Uh-huh.
But I moved right here in this house when I moved from West Palm Beach.
Is that right?
Right here.
Yeah. Well, now, when you was keeping house, you didn't have much time for washing and things.
Well, yes. Now, you know, that's what I done here when I moved up here. I didn't know how to farm, see.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
My husband was a farmer, but I didn't know how to farm. I never did learn to hoe. I can't hoe now.
Uh-huh.
I never did learn it. But now, my mother, when we lived in Jessup, she taught me to Washington. That was my work there.
Oh, yeah.
You see, with her. My daddy never would allow me to work out in service.
Uh-huh.
He said because girls thought they was groomed when they was earning money out like that, and he never would allow it. But he said, now you can stay here and help your mother work here in the house. And that's what I done.
Yeah.
I washed and ironed. Mother had lots of washing, you know. And that's what I done. I stayed there and helped her do that. And my daddy was a timber man. He worked on the river. And he trained his boys to do that with him. See?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and so I never did. We stayed in the little town, and Mother took him washing iron, and then I helped her.
You helped her?
Yeah.
Well, now, that was a pretty good arrangement, because she needed help.
Yeah. We had three, four washings, you know. Yeah. We'd wash Monday and Tuesday, and then we would iron Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. See?
It'd take that long.
Yes, we had the right smarter washing in between times. We would clean up, don't you know?
Yeah, that's you'd wash on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, wash Mondays and Tuesdays. And Wednesday and Thursday we would iron. Sometimes we would iron at night till around 11 and 11:30. That's
goodness. Right. Did you iron everything?
Well, yes, we took in washing for different people, you know, and we had to iron the clothes.
Did you iron the sheets?
Yes, sheets, pillowcases, towels, napkins, and everything. Towels, napkins, and everything. The only thing we didn't iron was bath towels, you know, rough ones.
Oh.
We didn't have to iron those.
Huh.
Yeah. Everything.
You iron your sheets now?
Sometime I do. And sometime I take them off the line and fold them.
Yeah.
I don't iron them.
They smell good right off the line.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, nice and fresh and sweet. Well, now, the people that could afford to have their washing done could pay for it, couldn't they?
Yeah, but they didn't pay nothing much for washing then like they have to do now, Mr. Miles.
Yeah.
No, they didn't pay. Now, we had a big family washing. We didn't get but $2 a week out of that washing. It was a big family.
Yeah.
They didn't pay nothing much, and we had to have a right smart, don't you know, to make anything much off it. Well, things were so much cheaper then. Food was cheaper, and then your clothes was cheaper. Your shoes and things like that didn't cost you so much.
No,
it didn't cost you.
Money was worth so much more, wasn't it?
Yes. And then you see now, maybe in the fall of the year, they would have freshets in the river. I don't know whether you know about that or not. You know, and my daddy, he cut these cypress logs and would run them out through these roads. They'd cut roads in the summer when the water wasn't up. See, cut roads to run these logs through.
Yeah.
And then they would be cypress, and they would have to stand up on jumpers way that high up to get around that old big old bottom, you know, that the cypress has.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would cut them trees down and saw them off, you see, and then that's what they called the timber. That was timber. And now when the fresh would come in the spring of the year, then they'd run these logs out to the main river, see, and raft them up, and then my daddy would take them down to Darien, Georgia, and sell them to the big mill people there. Yeah. That's kind of what he done.
So he didn't have to have a big truck and all like
that. Oh, don't trucks. There wasn't no trucks then, don't you know. It was, they cut these logs in the swamp, and when this fresh would come in, then they would float, them logs would float, you know, and out to the main river, and then they would raft them together. you see, and take them to dairy.
Miss Liza, did you, when you was washing, did you, when you was heating your water, did you just use wood?
Yes, we had plenty of wood. We had plenty of wood.
Just any good wood, like hickory or oak or whatever
you
had?
Oh, yes, a pine, anything. You see, Mother bought wood from the country folks would bring in loads of wood, you know.
Yeah.
We would have that. And we had these old-time irons, you know, they didn't have electric irons then. Had these old-time irons, and she'd buy oak wood to iron with. You see, we'd heat them by the fireplace.
Oh, by the fireplace?
Yes, heat them on the fire. You know, make us a big fire in the chimney.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. I never saw that done.
You did?
No. I don't believe so. How close do you have to put the iron up there?
Right at the fire.
Right there at the coal.
Yeah, we didn't have no coal. We'd have a fire.
Well, red hot coal.
Wood coals. Yeah, wood coals. And maybe we'd have a piece of iron to go across that fireplace, don't you know? The fireplace would be like that. A piece of iron, then you'd set them smoothing iron right up against that iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that'd be right, there wouldn't smoke?
No, they wouldn't smoke. They'd get hot.
Just hot.
Yeah.
That's right down there where the fire was red hot.
The fire wouldn't be red hot. They wouldn't be so red hot. But, you know, we wouldn't have such a big fire, but it would be oak fire, you know.
Uh-huh.
It would be hot, you know. Wouldn't be no big blaze kind of like.
Well, it'd be like Miss Bessie's up there?
Like her house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And that, if she wanted to, she could heat her iron right there by that fire.
Oh, yes, by that fire. Sure.
You don't have to have the iron just so awful hot.
No, well, sometimes it'd get too hot, but you'd have to set it off and cool some. Don't you see, and get another that wasn't so hot.
Yeah.
Well, we would have maybe about 7 or 8 irons at that time.